All right, this morning we are in John chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. John 15, verses 1 to 11. When you get there, I ask you please stand to show reverence for the Word of God. If you do not have a Bible, please see me. I'd love to be able to give you a Bible. That's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And again, when you get there, please stand as we show reverence for the Word of God. Now the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. We praise God for this portion of his holy word. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, so talking about what fruits you are bearing. Inside your bulletins, I broke it down a bit for you so you can keep and hold on to be able to help in following through in this process, because we don't want to miss anything. Give me a second here. I think this morning I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I need to sit down here. So in chapter 15 of the book of John, we find Christ talking about bearing fruit as his disciples. He uses the analogy of a vine and branches to help better explain how God looks at things and glorifies him through these things. The grapevine is a plant, significant, especially in the Old Testament. A single vine bears many grapes, and in the Old Testament, grapes symbolize Israel's fruitfulness in doing God's work on the earth. It's found in Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel. And of course, in the Passover meal, the fruit of the vine symbolized God's goodness to his people. So we're going to ask a bunch of different questions. First off, who are the branches? The branches are those who claim to be followers of Christ. Remember, as we go on, that Christ said that many will claim that they knew him, but he will say, I never knew you. Why? Because on the outside, they acted as though they knew him, but on the inside, they never did. The fruitful branches are true believers who, by their living union with Christ, produce much fruit. The goal as a believer is to produce fruit. That is, to do things for the Lord that bring glory to God. So now, in order to get good fruit, you must plant the right vine, so to speak. And so God the Father, as the illustration that Jesus gives, God the Father here is pictured as the gardener. And he planted the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. One must plant the right kind of vine or tree in order to assure the proper quality of fruit. For no fruit can be better than the vine that produces it. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Those were his very words. I am the true vine. God couldn't use man who is sinful to be the vine that had to be planted to produce the right fruit. It could only be Jesus Christ. The quality of his fruitfulness will be unattainable by anything other than Jesus. There may be many other branches, but if they are to bear the right kind of fruit, they must be a part of the real vine. And so I asked the question this morning, are you a part of the true vine? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart? Have you asked him to be your Savior and the idea of no longer living for your will, but for his will? So the next question is, what are some false vines? If Jesus is the true vine, what are some false vines? Well, one false vine can be materialism. Getting caught up in all the materialistic things of the world. Money, cars, houses. It could be alcohol and drugs. It could be false religions. It could be lust. It could be many, many things. There are many, many false branches that are out there, false vines that are out there, and we need to make sure that we are attached to the true living vine. So here we see that no fruit is better than its vine. So if we do a little, I'll use a fancy word, a little inductive reasoning. Therefore, since no fruit is better than its vine, if Christ is the best and true vine, and all other vines in this world fall short, then in Christ we can produce superior and good fruit compared to the poisonous or rotten fruit which comes from the world or obviously things that come from Satan. So you look at, you know, Jody does with this community garden, they're going to be planting a lot of things. I don't think grapevines is going to be one of them, but who knows with my sister. But all plants need a good gardener, okay? Success in raising any crop depends largely on the skill of the farmer or the gardener. The relation of the believer to God is that of the vine to the owner of the vineyard. Because we belong to the vine, which is Christ, we also belong to the gardener, who is God the Father. So God is the gardener, and so what does he do for us? Number one, he takes care of us. Scripture says he will give us and care for all of our needs. Even those times when you feel like he's not caring for you, he is caring for you. He gives us water. Christ said that he is the living water which will quench our spiritual thirst. Number three, he protects us. Scripture talks many places that he is our shield, our rock, our fortress. And fourthly, he prunes us, and that's the next point. And pruning isn't always exciting, so to speak. But the gardener needs to prune the branches. You do that with vines. Vicky has a rose bush in the back, you know, and eventually they die. You got to prune the dead ones off so that there's more growth for the healthy ones. And so pruning in the Greek, when you look it up in the Greek, the word means cleaning. And one of the things that gets pruned is called dead wood. And so we ask the question, who is the dead wood? Who gets cut off? And the ones that cut off, the dead wood, are those who turn back from following Christ after making a superficial commitment. The key is, we're not talking about a Christian here that backslides. We're talking about the person that makes a superficial commitment. The key word, superficial. The word superficial in the Webster's Dictionary says, relating to a surface. Lying on the surface, not penetrating below. So the dead wood is the person who claims to be a Christian on the outside, but it never penetrates on the inside because they never give total control of their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord. Does that make sense? Other reasons why there needs to be pruning is because sometimes branches harbor disease and decay. Many times God removes the dead wood from his church in order to promote growth. What's one way that we may know if we are dead wood? Well, if we do not abide in Christ. And again, abiding in Christ means believing that he is God's son, You cannot be saved or have Jesus as your Savior if you don't believe He's God's Son. Receiving Him as Savior and Lord, allowing His shed blood to cover your sins. Being obedient to what God says. And loving the community of believers, the body of Christ. Second part is trimming of live wood. We would be considered live wood, those who have given our life to Jesus. We are an untrimmed, if there is an untrimmed vine, it will develop long, rambling branches that produce little fruit because most of the strength of the vine is given to growing wood. We waste our time and strength on worldly things instead of godly things. And so disciplining the lives of believers so they can produce more fruit comes by pruning or disciplining of God. God will see certain things in our lives to take us in certain areas that He needs to prune and cut out. Fruitful branches are cut back to promote growth. In other words, God's word penetrates into us. It shows us, it disciplines us, it strengthens our character, and it strengthens our faith. But branches that don't bear fruit are cut off at the trunk because not only are they worthless, but they often infect the rest of the tree. People who won't bear fruit for God or who try to block the efforts of God's followers will be cut off from His life-giving power. And so as we know, there are two kinds of believers, those that are active in Christ bearing fruit and those that bear very little fruit. Unproductive followers or those believers who fall away from the Lord and that they are actually doing more harm than good can get to a point in their habitual sinning life, so to speak, style, where God just decides to bring them home. That's found in 1 John 5:16. It says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death, but I am not talking about that. Believers can sin to the point where physical death results as judgment of God. We see an example of this in 1 Corinthians 11. The Greek reads sin, not a sin. We all know that we all sin, okay? We're talking about over a period of time of continual sin where you get a point where your sin and its consequences and God's ultimate judgment says, hey, listen, you're supposed to be bearing fruit. You're not bearing fruit. You're causing more harm than good. Maybe it's time that I just bring you home. If you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do, then He's not going to keep on allowing you to do it. He allows you to stray, and hopefully you'll wise up and begin to obey Him and be fruitful. But remember, once you're saved, you're always saved. But Scripture does talk about the fact there are believers who are saved, but they backslide so much that they are actually doing more harm than good. Scripture talks also about believers that are they're saved, but they kind of enter heaven smelling like smoke. And we don't want to be classified as those kind of believers because when we stand before God, there will be no rewards. When we stand before God, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have to account for the time that we, didn't use the time that God gave us correctly. And so we want to be about our Father's business. We want to be producing good fruit. And we all are going to stumble. We're all going to struggle and have difficult times and moments. But when God confronts us with it, and God tells us it's time to change, we need to change. So the gardener, God the Father, is concerned that the vine be healthy and productive. This caring process is a picture of God's dealing with us. And He removes the dead wood from the church and disciplines the live believers so they are directed into fruitful activity. Next we go on, we ask the question, what tool does God use to prune or clean us? Number one, it's the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, or even as you're listening to it today, it condemns and it confronts sin in our life. It inspires holiness. It promotes growth. As Jesus applies the words of God that God gave Him to the lives of the disciples, they undergo a pruning process that removes evil from them and conditions them for further service. Everything God does, He does for the better. And the things in our lives that aren't that great usually aren't the problem that God created in our lives. They are the problems that we have chosen and have created in our own lives. But God is so good that he will bring healing and restoration to our souls when we turn to him. And so we need this constant connection with Christ, our true vine. If Jesus is the true vine, we need constant connection as we are the branch coming out of that true vine. If we want true production, it depends on constant union with the source of fruitfulness, which is Jesus. Branches that are severed from the present stalk may produce leaves temporarily, but inevitably they will wither because there is no source of life sustaining them. And they will never bear fruit. The effectiveness of believers depends on their receiving the constant flow of life from Christ. If you want to be effective in your life, if you want to be effective in your family, if you want to be effective father or mother, you want to be an effective husband or wife, you want to be an effective person in the community of Christ, you need to be connected to Christ and allowing his words to be continually changing us. Fruit bearing is not only possible but certain if the branches remain in the vine. So consequences to not being connected obviously lead to failure to maintain a vital connection. Brings its own penalty, rejection, and feelings of uselessness. But Jesus intends to show that fruitfulness is normal for believers. And as we read in Matthew 7 and Luke 6, it says, you will know they are Christians by what? By their fruits. So although Scripture teaches us that we are not to judge one another, because it's a heart is between God and that person, we can know through our fruits whether one has truly given themselves to Christ or not. It shows, Jesus said, that we will know. Jesus leaves no place among his followers for fruitless disciples who claim to be in him. The only option for such people is to be thrown away and burned. If we take a modern day analogy, think about this. If you owned a trucking company, okay? Let's say you drive a truck. We'll say you drive a truck for Lowe's. Right, Paco? Bob. Say you drive a truck for Lowe's. And you have 200 trips. And out of those 200 trips, you arrive at Lowe's with your goods 0 times out of 200. And you're the boss. What do you think you're going to do to that driver? Right? You're going to kick him out. You're going to fire him. Because you're unproductive. The idea of the person that is not saved, the unbeliever, the one that has rejected Christ, he is not bearing any fruit. And Scripture teaches that that branch is cut off and tossed away because it is not connected into the strength and the life of the vine of Jesus. And so the proof of discipleship is fruit bearing. Just as Jesus glorified God by his life, so we are to glorify God by our life. And so finally, a result of having a good connection is obedience and joy. When you are connected into the vine, the true vine, obedience and joy come out of it. Now, we're not always going to be happy. Everything's not always going to be great. But if you're not having joy in your life, and joy does not mean just an emotion. Joy is being able to still have a peace despite your turbulence in life. You need to ask yourself, am I connected into the vine of Christ, or am I starting to plug into other things that don't have any life in it, things of the world? The connection is maintained by obedience and prayer. To remain in Christ and allow his word to remain in oneself means a conscious acceptance of the authority of his word. Do you accept this as his authority? I don't raise that the Bible above our head after we read the scripture just because that's what we do. It's a tradition. To remind us it has authority over us. Amen? Prayer request itself must be related to a definite need and must be for an object Jesus himself would desire. Jesus never promises to gratify every thing that we ask for, but he will supply our needs. And so as long as we're seeking the Lord with our lives, he promises to grant every request that will help accomplish that end. Love unites a disciple to Jesus as the branches are united to a vine. Two results stem from this relationship, obedience and joy. Obedience marks the cause of their fruitfulness, and joy is its result. Obedience in carrying out his purpose guarantees success. For Jesus never plans failure for his disciples. Jesus never plans failure for you as a follower. Never plans failure for you, only victory. We only fall into failure when we choose failure instead of choosing Christ. Amen? Joy follows when the disciple realizes that the life of Christ in them is bringing fruit, something they can never produce in their own strength. And so when things are going well, we feel elated. When hardship comes, we sink into depression. But true joy transcends the rolling waves of circumstances. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. When I'm at my lowest point, I can still have joy because I know who Jesus is. When our lives are intertwined with his, he will help us walk through adversity without sinking into debilitating lows. The joy of living with Jesus daily will keep us level-headed. How many of us many times get unlevel-headed? Walking with Jesus will help us stay level-headed, no matter how high or how low our circumstances. And so in conclusion, many people try to be good, honest people who do what is right. But Jesus says that the only way to live a true good life is to stay close to him, like a branch attached to the vine. Apart from Christ, our efforts are fruitful. Are you receiving the nourishment and life offered by Christ the vine? If not, you're missing a special gift that he has for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this time. We pray that we'd stay close to you, Lord God, and that we would be the branches growing out of the vine of Jesus, bearing much fruit for your glory. Lord, let us examine our hearts to see if we are truly in you. Let us walk with you all the days of our lives. For you are greater than any other thing that we can ever have or receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.